In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1,000 years before Christ, before King Josiah or Manasseh or Hezekiah, before Jeroboam or Rehoboam, before Solomon or David or Saul, the elders of Israel came to Samuel and said, "We want a king. We want a king like all the other nations." And God said to Samuel, "Give them their king. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." The king thing didn't go very well. Most of them were evil, and all of them were sinful. Oh, there was King David, the warrior king. Under his rule was land and food and prosperity and military victories. But there was also adultery and lies and murder. King David wanted to build a temple for God. But God said, "You will not build a house for me, but I will build a house for you. As a matter of fact, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure before me forever, and your throne shall be established forever." And so Israel prayed, and they waited, and they longed for this son of David to come. 500 years before Christ, Judah returns from captivity in Babylon. There's no temple. There's no king. Things are in chaos. Impenitence abounds. Jerusalem is a mess. Where is the son of David that was promised? Where is God's king from David's line that was promised? Zechariah the prophet preaches these words of God: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey." Zechariah plainly states what this humble donkey-riding king will accomplish. He says, "Through the blood of his covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." Malachi was the last of the prophets. Then the prophets went silent. Still, no son of David. Still, no king. Then, in the obscure village of Nazareth, there was a virgin girl named Mary, an ancestor of King David. The angel Gabriel appeared to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will have no end." The ancient promise was fulfilled. The shepherds were told, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The wise men asked Herod, "Where is he who is to be born King of the Jews?" John the Baptist makes it known, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And just before Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, two blind men cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And yet, with all this Old Testament history, with all this prophecy, with all this promise of a king, with all this fulfillment right before their eyes, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. And what did they say? Who is this? Who is this? They said, others said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Yes, from Nazareth, where Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, where God came to earth in the temple of Mary's womb, where the Son of David made his humble beginnings, born in a barn. Who is this? He is the prophet of prophets, the fulfillment of the prophets, who is yet proclaimed by prophets this very day, the called and ordained servants of the word. He is the salvation of the world, the King Jesus. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" But were they ignoring the obvious? Zechariah's prophecy that the king would be humble, that he would be riding on a donkey. They shout praises of salvation, and yet their hopes are dashed when they see the same king arrested, sentenced, bloodied, dead. They're even the ones who cried, "Crucify him." And yet we know that this king gives eternal salvation through the pouring out of his blood, just like Zechariah said, in payment for your sins and mine. And we recognize him even today on our altars, Sunday after Sunday, the King of salvation who comes in the name of the Lord in his body and in his blood, giving us the crown of everlasting life. Who is this? He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus instructed his disciples to go and get the donkey. And St. Matthew tells us this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden." Our king is the king of love, humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, for you. Our king is crowned with thorns, pierced for our transgressions. Our king becomes the servant, and we become the king. Through his humiliation, death, and resurrection, we are those who now live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Who is this? You know. He is the eternal King coming to you to give you salvation, to forgive your sins, and to give you eternal life. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the King. who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.